Live from the Bloomberg Interactor Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, February 14th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
the White House questions China's transparency on the coronavirus.
Global cases climb past 63,000, while the death toll nears 1,400.
Impact from the outbreak spreads from cruise lines to toy makers and global e-commerce.
It's a rare public rebuke against President Trump from Attorney General William Barr, plus the Senate votes to limit the president's war powers against Iran. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. A comeback shootout win for the Rangers. The Devils won. The Islanders lost. And Houston Astros players spoke about the sign-stealing scandal.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by SEI. Visionary asset managers find opportunity where others are challenged. Exploit disruption's potential with SEI's global operating platform. Find out how at seic.com/IMS.
Global stocks are mixed as we head into the final trading day of the week. 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 4 points this morning. Dow futures up 15. NASDAQ futures up 22. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. CAC in Paris down 0.2%. And the FTSE 100 is little changed. Nikkei 225 in Japan down 0.6%. And the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 0.8 seconds. Yield 1.59%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.42%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.3% or 15 cents at $51.57 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed at $15.79.40 an ounce. The euro, 1.0845 against the dollar. The yen at 109.80. Nathan.
Karen, we begin this morning with the latest numbers on coronavirus infections. China's Hubei province reports an additional 4,800 infections today. That appears to confirm yesterday's 15,000 new cases was a one-off. The death toll was revised lower to less than 1,400 after some fatalities were counted twice. Let's get more on the ground in China from Bloomberg's Selena Wang in Beijing.
The World Health Organization has pointed out that those cases added yesterday had dated back days and weeks before and did not represent this sudden new surge in infection. So we'll have to monitor in the coming days, but we could again start to see that trend line start to stabilize. This all does come down to the new reporting methodology, which now includes a group of new patients that are diagnosed through CT scans. But this all places renewed focus on questions around the reliability of the data coming out of China and the true extent of the outbreak.
Right now, China says total cases of the coronavirus number more than 63,000.
The White House is stepping up criticism of China's response to the outbreak.
On this particular matter, we are quite disappointed in China's response.
Economic advisor Larry Kudlow raising doubts about China's accuracy in counting new cases and the number of deaths related to the virus.
Is the Politburo really being honest with us? We thought there was going to be more transparency, but we're a bit disappointed.
Kudlow says U.S. health experts still have not been allowed into China to help treat and contain the outbreak.
The impact is hitting business in the region hard. Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie is covering the fallout and brings us details from Beijing.
You see and hear from the likes of Alibaba, the e-commerce giant, saying there's going to be a fundamental impact now on the Chinese consumer and Chinese merchants. You're hearing from the toy maker Mattel saying they're going to see a hit. Royal Caribbean Cruises, they're banning all cruises now in Southeast Asia. So those shockwaves continue as, of course, China is trying to ensure that the quarantine measures are still in place in Hubei, while it's also trying to kickstart the economy here.
Meantime, research from a scientist at the World Health Organization warns as much as two-thirds of the globe could eventually contract the virus. His estimate, based on data showing infected people transmit the disease to two or three others, implies total infections in the billions.
Markets in Asia showing no strong reaction to these developments. Stocks finished the day mixed. For more, we're joined by Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore. Good morning, Juliet. Good morning, Karen. The Nikkei 225 closed down 0.6% in Tokyo, while Hong Kong stocks rose and the CSI 300 pushed higher to come close to erasing its post-Lunar New Year losses. Stocks in Taiwan, South Korea and Australia also advanced. In currency moves, the yuan continued to trade stronger than 7 to the dollar. Australia's 10-year yield was little changed at 1.05% Friday, with global bond yields set for a weekly advance on optimism that there will be a V-shaped economic recovery from the virus. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Salih, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. In Europe, we're getting data out of Germany showing the country avoided contraction in the fourth quarter, but still the prospects for 2020 look grim. Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Roger Hearing joins us live from London with more. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Germany flatlined at the end of 2019. Europe's largest economy is now one of the region's weakest performers. Expansion last year was just 0.6%. And there's still plenty of trade uncertainty, plus the impact of the coronavirus to come this year. Not to mention political instability in Berlin, with the resignation of Angela Merkel's heir apparent as Chancellor. And just to add to the joy, the country's flagship car industry is facing upheaval as it tries to transition to the low-carbon era. Live in London, I'm Roger Hearing, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Roger, thank you. Back here in the U.S., President Trump's pick for the Federal Reserve came under bipartisan fire in the Senate. Republican Senators Richard Shelby and Pat Toomey joined Democrat Sherrod Brown in expressing concern over Judy Shelton's nomination.
Dr. Shelton, I do have some trouble by some of your writings and some of the articles.
You believe the Fed should actively seek to devalue our currency if other countries are doing that. And I think that's a very, very dangerous path to go down.
The bottom line is Ms. Shelton has too many alarming ideas and has flip-flopped on too many important issues to be confirmed for this job.
Judy Shelton is a former advisor to President Trump and has publicly supported his policy. She fielded multiple questions about her allegiance to the White House and her ability to be independent.
Ms. Shelton, do you pledge to be independent in your decision-making regardless of what the president tells you to do?
I pledge to be independent in my decision-making, and frankly, no one tells me what to do.
A single Republican vote against Shelton is enough to block her nomination. That's assuming Democrats on the committee are united in opposition.
And stay tuned for more on the Fed today when we sit down for an exclusive interview with Loretta Mester. The Cleveland Fed president sits down for a conversation with Bloomberg's Michael McKee at 12:30 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and television. S&P futures higher by 4 points. Dow futures up 17. NASDAQ futures a gain of 23 points. This is Bloomberg. And at 5:07 on Wall Street, it is time to check the latest world and national headlines on this Friday morning. Here's Michael Barr. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. It's a rare public rebuke for President Trump from one of his most trusted cabinet members. Bloomberg's Bob Moon has the story.
Attorney General William Barr declared in an interview with ABC News it's time for the president to stop the tweeting about Department of Justice criminal cases.
I'm not going to be bullied or influenced by anybody.
And he insisted that's not what happened when he decided to reduce the prison sentence recommendation for Trump friend Roger Stone, that he had made the decision before the president tweeted criticism that the sentence was too harsh. It demonstrates the problem, Barr says.
I cannot do my job here at the department with a constant background commentary that undercuts me.
Some Democrats on Capitol Hill called on Barr to resign. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The Senate has approved a bipartisan measure aimed at limiting President Trump's authority to launch military operations against Iran. 8 Republicans joined Democrats. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
The president does not have the authority to go to war. Democratic and Republican senators have made that crystal clear. No president can sidestep Congress when it comes to matters of war and peace.
President Trump is expected to veto the war powers resolution if it reaches his desk. Nevada's powerful Culinary Workers Union declined to endorse a Democratic presidential candidate ahead of the state's February 22nd caucus. The union has criticized Bernie Sanders' Medicare for All proposal, which it has warned would replace the health care benefits the labor group has negotiated over the years. President Trump and Governor Andrew Cuomo failed to reach an agreement to resolve a dispute over the administration's decision to ban New York State residents from using programs that allow speedier customs and immigration checks. Trump and Cuomo met yesterday at the White House. During a news conference, Cuomo pledged not to let federal immigration agents see lists of people who had applied for a new type of license that doesn't require applicants to prove they are in the U.S. legally.
if they think they're going to extort New York into giving them the database of undocumented people, they're wrong. I will never do that.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, sign-stealing in Houston dominated the baseball offseason. We had heard from Astros owner Jim Crane when he fired his manager and general manager. The ex-manager, A.J. Hinch, recently did a sit-down interview. We had not heard from any of the Astros players. Yesterday, Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve both delivered brief, somewhat robotic apologies, but Carlos Correa was later more forthcoming. He was asked about a recent report that painted Carlos Beltran as the ringleader of the scheme.
Beltran was obviously a leader of the clubhouse, but we all had a say in everything that we were doing in there. And whatever he said and whatever we were doing, we had the chance to stop it as a team. Everybody had the chance to say something, and we did it.
Beltran, of course, spent his offseason getting hired as Mets manager and then fired for the sign-stealing. The Rangers were in Minnesota. They were down 3-1 with 8 minutes left. Mika Zibanejad scored the tying goal just over a minute to play. Then he scored in the shootout. So did Antteri Panarin. Rangers won 4-3. They're trying to climb over some teams and make the playoffs. The Islanders lost 5-0 in Nashville. Thomas Greiss gave up the first three on only 8 shots. Devils scored 4 times in a 4-minute span of the second period and beat Detroit 4-1. Celtics a double overtime win over the Clippers, and the NBA now heads to Chicago for All-Star Weekend. The Knicks' R.J. Barrett will be in the Rising Stars game tomorrow night. Hofstra 10-3 atop the Colonial Athletic Association, the pride of the win last night over Charleston. Tiger Woods shot 69, but Matt Kuchar 64. He's got a 3-shot lead at Riviera. The Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
And John, rev up those engines. The Daytona 500 is this Sunday. Who better to talk to tonight on the Bloomberg Business of Sports show than NASCAR president Steve Phelps? You can catch that conversation tonight at 7 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio, or anytime if you subscribe to Bloomberg Business of Sports as podcast. Green flag waving a bit on Wall Street. S&P futures higher by almost 5 points. Dow futures up 23. NASDAQ futures up 24 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Land Rover. The Own the Adventure sales event is happening now until March 31st. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures entering a holding pattern while stocks are mixed in Europe and Asia as traders sorted through contrasting data from China on how quickly the coronavirus is spreading. Oil is holding well above $51 a barrel in New York. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 6 points, Dow futures up 35, NASDAQ futures up 27. The DAX in Germany is up 0.25%. 10-year Treasury up 6/32, yield 1.59%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.42%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1% or 49 cents at $51.91 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed at $15.79 an ounce. The euro, 1.0846 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3038. And the yen, 109.81. Today, we are watching for reports on the import price index and retail sales out at 8:30 Wall Street time. At 9:15, it's industrial production and capacity utilization. Then at 10, business inventories and consumer sentiment. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. House Democrats plan to investigate what they call Attorney General William Barr's efforts to politicize federal law enforcement. The new oversight comes after Barr overruled prosecutors who recommended that Trump confidant Roger Stone be given 7 to 9 years in prison. Meanwhile, Barr told ABC President Trump's tweets make it impossible for him to do his job. The War Powers Resolution has passed the Senate with a bipartisan vote. The measure would limit the president's powers to use military action against Iran without prior congressional approval. In the NHL, the Rangers won in a shootout against the Wild. The Devils won along with the Capitals. The Islanders lost. Heading into the NBA All-Star break, the Celtics beat the Clippers in double overtime, 141-133. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's get more now on our top story this morning, China's coronavirus. The number of cases continues to rise, but not nearly at the same level as yesterday when Hubei province changed its method for counting infections. That appears to be calming markets. Greg Staples is with DWS Group.
There's no more panic anymore. I honestly think that investors were looking at good fundamentals before all of this. They said the only thing we have to worry about is a black swan event. Now we've got the black swan event. We can get our arms around it. Let's roll. Let's move on.
And Chinese President Xi Jinping may be trying to get his arms around it with a new Communist Party secretary taking over in Hubei province. Tony Rodriguez is head of taxable fixed income at Nuveen Asset Management.
This was maybe a little bit of a wipe the slate clean for the new guy coming in who's close to Xi. And maybe from here, because outside of Hubei, you didn't see an acceleration in cases. So I think there's a little bit of internal political kind of propaganda that might be working here as well.
The Chinese government is sounding committed to meeting its economic targets despite the outbreak. Stephen Parker with J.P. Morgan says the market is counting on stimulus.
You've heard it from the Fed. You've heard it from other central bankers. They acknowledge that this is going to likely create a temporary slowdown in growth. That means they're going to stay accommodative, which is a core tenet of the bullish view going forward.
So the outbreak has hit commodities hard. The three big oil forecasters have all cut back demand estimates due to the virus. Jeff Curry is Goldman Sachs head of commodities research.
The current environment is pretty dire, what's going on in China. I mean, you saw the Baltic Freight Index went negative, which is an indication just how weak the demand picture is.
Despite that, crude is set for its first weekly gain. Traders are weighing whether Russia will agree to production cuts with its OPEC allies. West Texas Intermediate and Brent crude are both up about 1% on the session. NYMEX crude's at $51.91 a barrel, while Brent's at $56.93. Now to some other stories we're following. Microsoft is going to have to stop work on a $10 billion Pentagon cloud computing contract for now. Due to a federal judge's order, we get that story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The decision came after Amazon asked for the delay as it challenges the validity of the award over allegations that President Trump interfered. According to the decision by the Court of Federal Claims Judge Patricia Campbell Smith, the government can't proceed with implementing the contract, quote, until further order of the court. The judge's full opinion was posted under seal. A Microsoft spokesman said the company was, quote, disappointed in the ruling and reiterated that the Pentagon's procurement process was fair. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Tesla is raising questions about its cash flow once again. The electric car maker announced another $2 billion stock offering 2 weeks after CEO Elon Musk said the company wouldn't need one. Joe Osha at JMP Security says it's not too big a concern.
This company still is carrying a lot of debt, right? And so they could pay some of that down if they choose to do so. But at the most basic level, it's make hay when the sun shines, right? Certainly the company can use some additional resources. And if the market wants to hand them this $100 billion plus market cap, take advantage of it.
And sources tell Bloomberg the secondary offering is priced at $767 a share. Right now, Tesla is lower by more than 1.5% in the pre-market. Now, let's get to some of the other earnings. NVIDIA out with a revenue forecast that beat estimates thanks to demand for data center and gaming chips. Right now, shares of NVIDIA are up 7% in the pre-market. Expedia is projecting double-digit growth this year, even with slowing global demand due to the coronavirus. And Roku's fourth quarter results beat expectations. The video streaming platform had a surge in active accounts thanks to new services like Disney Plus. In Europe, shares of Royal Bank of Scotland are falling. The firm's operating profit beat estimates in the fourth quarter, but the bank continues to see challenges for income this year. We spoke with Chief Financial Officer Katie Murray.
We're clearly going to incur some losses in terms of the resizing of NatWest Markets. You know, and the yield curve is still this going in this direction. And we, in our own economics, in our base case, are anticipating that we'll have another yield curve cut. Those things all make make income harder, particularly for banks.
You heard Murray refer to the bank as NatWest Markets. RBS is rebranding under the name of its investment bank as it slashes its markets business. Shares of RBS, soon to be NatWest, are down 6%. in London. Back here in the U.S., we get a reading on retail sales at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Economist sales, they gained 0.3% in January. Here with more is Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
Don't expect fireworks. Bloomberg Economics sees moderation in discretionary spending in today's data. Electronics, clothing, sporting goods. Motor vehicles probably eked out a mild gain based on auto industry data. Lower petroleum prices in the meantime could weigh on January's headline. Also today, we get data on import prices, industrial production, consumer sentiment, and business inventories. Bloomberg customers can find a full list of economic indicators by typing ECO-GO on their Bloomberg terminal. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. Markets pointing to a higher open on this Valentine's Day. S&P futures up 5 points. Dow futures ahead by 27. NASDAQ futures up 25 points. 10 years up, 7/32. The yield, 1.59%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Land Rover. The Own the Adventure sales event is happening now until March 31st. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated advisory firms and broker-dealers rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com.
We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Global stocks are heading for a second week of gains as investors anticipate a recovery from the coronavirus. The latest on the outbreak has China's Hubei province reporting more than 4,800 new cases and 116 new deaths. At the same time, the death toll has been lowered by more than 100 after some fatalities were counted twice. We get more from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
The new cases include 3,095 patients clinically diagnosed. That refers to the new method of using CT imaging scans to diagnose patients. They are added to those confirmed by the previous method of testing kits. For comparison purposes, without the scans, the number of new cases would be 1,728. That would be the lowest number this month, and it might mean the infections had peaked. But given the changes, no one would appear comfortable with that assertion just yet. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thanks. In Europe, Germany says the coronavirus is adding more risk to that country's outlook. The comments come after Europe's largest economy reported zero growth in the fourth quarter.
Here in the U.S., we get the January reading on retail sales this morning. Economists forecast an increase of 0.3%.
President Trump's pick for the Federal Reserve came under bipartisan fire in the Senate. Republicans Richard Shelby and Pat Toomey joined Democrat Sherrod Brown in expressing concern over Judy Shelton's nomination.
Dr. Shelton, I do have some trouble by some of your writings and some of the articles.
You believe the Fed should actively seek to devalue our currency if other countries are doing that. And I think that's a very, very dangerous path to go down.
The bottom line is Ms. Shelton has too many alarming ideas and has flip-flopped on too many important issues to be confirmed for this job.
A single Republican vote against Shelton would be enough to block her nomination, assuming Democrats on the committee are united in opposition.
And futures this morning are on the rise, with S&P futures up 5 points, Dow futures up 24, NASDAQ futures up 25. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 7/32, yield 1.59%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.42%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1% or 51 cents at $51.93 a barrel. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Attorney General William Barr says President Trump's tweets and public comments about the Justice Department and ongoing cases make his job impossible. In an interview with ABC, Barr says he is not going to be bullied or influenced by anybody, and he is going to do what he thinks is right.
I cannot do my job here at the department with a constant background commentary that undercuts me.
President Trump tweeted that he thought the original recommendation for a 7 to 9 year prison term for his confidant Roger Stone, convicted of lying to Congress and witness tampering, was a miscarriage of justice. Democratic Congressman Eric Swalwell was asked about Barr's comments.
I don't buy it. And also, I mean, tell me the time where Bill Barr, you know, went to a court and said, you know what, that young black man who is being over-prosecuted for having cocaine on him disproportionately to white persons, we're going to lower the recommendation on that. That's not happening. I mean, this is only happening for the president's friend. It's not the first time.
President Trump says he may break the tradition of letting people listen in to his conversations with foreign leaders. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
This is a long-standing practice. He says it may end entirely. This issue was, of course, the crux of the impeachment effort. He also tells Geraldo Rivera, because of his impeachment, he looks at the president's pictures in the White House in a very different way.
The portrait of Richard Nixon, it's a little bit of a different feeling than I get from looking at the other portraits of presidents. And I got impeached for no reason whatsoever, partisan, totally partisan.
He referred to the days of the Nixon impeachment as dark. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The Senate approved a bipartisan measure that limits President Trump's authority to launch military operations against Iran. 8 Republicans joined Democrats in the vote. New York's John F. Kennedy International Airport is about to undergo a $3.8 billion expansion of his busiest terminal. Board members of the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey voted in favor of a lease amendment allowing the private operator of Terminal 4 to proceed with the modernization. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. 5:35 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, the Houston Astros owner, new manager, and several players spoke about the sign-stealing scandal. There were apologies, although everyone was short on specifics, and no one from the Astros was willing to say their 2017 championship was tainted or should even be taken away. But what about last season when Jose Altuve hit the pennant-winning homer off the Yankees or Aroldis Chapman? Why was he so adamant that his jersey not be ripped off? Was he wearing some kind of electronic device? His teammate was Carlos Correa.
If I'm lying here, I would lose credibility if something like that comes out. And that's not what I want to do. You guys know me. I want to speak the truth every time I'm talking to you guys. And, you know, it's just straight up false. Nobody wore anything. 2018, nothing. 2019, nothing. 2017, nobody wore devices either. It was just, you know, what was out on the report.
The Yankees' Gerrit Cole, who spent the previous two seasons in Houston, said yesterday he was unaware of any electronically induced sign stealing. Rangers, a nice win at Minnesota. They trailed 3-1 with 8 minutes left. Mika Zibanejad scored with just over a minute to play, and then he and Artemi Panarin scored in the shootout, and the Blue Shirts won 4-3. Islanders lost at Nashville 5-0. Devils a 4-1 win over Detroit. The NBA has hit the All-Star break. The game is Sunday in Chicago. The Celtics last night beat the Clippers in double overtime. Matt Kuchar with a 7-under 64 leads the Genesis Golf in L.A. by 3 shots. Tiger Woods trails by 5. College basketball, a win for Hofstra and LIU. St. Francis lost Fairleigh Dickinson by 33 over Wagner. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, thanks, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover on problems piling up for China's economy. Also in the issue, the organization that could be pivotal in creating a coronavirus vaccine. Peter Coy wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
It's headquartered in Norway, of all places. It's like 3 years old, 68 employees. So in one way, it's very small. In another way, it's very big because of its power to coordinate a lot of different players.
Read more about this effort and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week on newsstands now online at businessweek.com. And terminal customers can receive a complimentary subscription at MAG Go. Listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly right here on Bloomberg Radio, or watch it on YouTube weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. Wall Street time. Get global business, finance, and tech news on your TV, computer, or mobile device at youtube.com. Search Bloomberg Global News. It's 5:38 on Wall Street, and that's time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Khoury. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, Nathan. Tesla has to hire about 360 more workers in its solar factory in western New York
if the company will meet a state employment quota and avoid paying a penalty. There are more than 1,100 workers at Tesla's plant in Buffalo now, according to the city's mayor and a member of the state assembly. AllianceBernstein has reported its first round of workforce reductions in New York this year, bringing the total to almost 400 before its move to Nashville. The asset manager will eliminate 50 positions in New York City and 48 in White Plains. New Jersey sports betting came in at the $500 million mark last month. The total number of wagers accepted came out to $540 million, which is a 40% increase for the month from a year ago, according to the New Jersey Division of Gaming Enforcement. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
All right, Ed, thanks. It's 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Americans plan to spend an average of $196 this Valentine's Day.
I'm Steve Poduskin on KNX in Los Angeles. We're reporting on Barbie making a comeback, but cost-cutting really saving Mattel over the holidays.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the aftermath of the cabinet reshuffle.
I'm Ed Corey on WOAI in San Antonio. I'm reporting Boeing and an engineering union have agreed on a new contract.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Some other stories we're watching. Royal Caribbean, it has canceled 18 cruises because of the coronavirus outbreak, and it's also rejiggered itineraries, and that'll put a crimp on profit this year. Royal Caribbean says earnings will be lowered by 65 cents a share. Bloomberg News has learned that Tesla's $2 billion secondary offering is priced at $767 a share. That represents a discount of more than 4% on yesterday's close. The stock has more than quadrupled since June. And get ready for a name change. For three centuries, it has been known as Royal Bank of Scotland. Later this year, RBS will be called NatWest Group. The move adopts the brand of the English branch network it has used since a merger two decades ago. Futures on Wall Street pointed higher. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover. The Own the Adventure sales event is happening now until March 31st. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are entering a holding pattern while stocks are mixed in Europe and Asia as traders sort through contrasting data from China on how quickly the coronavirus is spreading. Oil is jumping. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 6 points this morning. Dow futures up 36. NASDAQ futures up 28. The DAX in Germany is up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 6/32nds. Yield 1.59%. And the yield on the 2-year 1.42%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.25% or 64 cents at $52.05 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed at $15.78.60 an ounce. The euro 1.0841 against the dollar. British pound 1.3024 and the yen is at 109.82. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the White House is saying they still have full confidence in Attorney General William Barr despite his comments about the president. During an interview with ABC News, Barr says that Trump's tweets make it impossible for him to do his job. Barr has been criticized in his response to his handling of the Roger Stone case. President Trump says he may break the tradition of letting people listen in on his conversations with foreign leaders. Trump's comments come after his impeachment was triggered by his July phone call with the president of Ukraine. In the NHL, the Rangers won in a shootout against the Wild. The Devils won along with the Capitals. The Islanders lost. In the NBA, the Celtics beat the Clippers in double overtime. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's just before 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak as we continue to track the impact both on the global health scale and on the economy from China's coronavirus. The number of confirmed cases continues to rise, but not nearly at the same level from yesterday when Hubei province, the area hardest hit by this outbreak, changed its method for counting infections. Bloomberg's Rashad Salamat joins us now from Hong Kong to get more on what's happening in that region. Rish, good morning. Understandably, this new method of counting the number of infections has led to some confusion. Is there a sense that China's gotten a handle of it now with the change in methodology?
Well, read what you will into this, Nathan. We've got the National Health Commission there in China lowering the countrywide death toll today, Friday here, of course, in this part of the world, by more than 100 and infected cases by more than 1,000. And what they're blaming this on is in Hubei province, of course, that's the epicenter of the outbreak, on double counting. Now, as you alluded to, the lowering coming a day after that huge shock of a 45% surge in new cases. This is after the extra 15,000 reported by Hubei due to the inclusion of a revised method how to diagnose infection. Now, getting to the nub of your question, these changing numbers, then also we've got a degree of reluctance by Chinese health officials to sufficiently explain these inconsistencies, all adding together to crush any optimism that this epidemic is perhaps waning. And perhaps adding to all this is a bit of politics. We saw that move on Thursday where they had revised the way they calculate the number of cases. And then just hours later, we had the replacement of the two top Communist Party officials in Hubei province, which almost could be construed as resetting things and perhaps giving these guys a clean slate and ultimately kitchen sinking everything on the previous administration. So you've got that in play here as well. So with the lack of perhaps clarity again and the being seen, you could argue, to be transparent without perhaps actually being transparent, who knows? That's what some commentators are suggesting. Where are we with this? This is the question, isn't it, Nathan?
Yeah, and of course, the markets are looking for clarity, not just on the toll that the outbreak is having, but the economic impact as well. What are we seeing now?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, we've been discussing this on this program about how various economists have just been slashing their growth forecast for the first quarter in China, some as low as 3.2%. The mean seems to be about 4%. So that's a huge 2 percentage points off what was actually being penciled in by China for growth. But you can see it on a microeconomic level, certainly. I mean, Fiat Chrysler, for one thing, it's trying to halt operations at an assembly plant, wait for it, in Serbia. Now, why would you say that that was important? Because the world is globalized, ultimately, and they don't have a set of parts or they have lack parts coming from China because they've not been able to get them out because of this pathogen. So that stoppage would mark the first time that a European car maker had to idle a facility in Europe due to what's going on in China. And then on top of that, we've had the Bank of Korea governor talking about how this is going to have a material impact on their growth forecast. People's Bank of China planning to underpin new loan growth in the first quarter, and they're going to be perhaps taking a softer stance on property-related loan quotas here as well. And again, this is part of a series of measures to protect the economy from the fallout of what this virus has been doing here. So that's where we are ultimately. And you know, how bad will things get? Well, Nathan, answer this question. How long is a piece of string?
Yeah, that says a lot there, Rish. But I guess you could talk about a micro impact as well with a lot of these cruise ships that have been making headlines, some that are stuck in port under quarantine, others that are being told not to enter countries. What's the latest there?
The latest is a ship owned by Ada Cruises. It's got 1,100 European passengers. They cancel plans to visit Vietnam. The provincial government, they're enforcing a directive barring those on cruise liners that were in China recently from disembarking due to concerns. So that's one. We, of course, have that ship off Yokohama as well, which is now at least disembarking some people. But 218 people infected there out of 3,700 on that ship.
Bloomberg's Rashad Salamat with us live from Hong Kong. Thank you, as always, for keeping us updated. And you can follow all the latest developments on the coronavirus and its economic impact on the Bloomberg terminal. Just type VRUS Go on the search bar. Karen.
Thanks, Nathan. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
The California Supreme Court ruled that Apple violated state laws when it failed to pay workers for time spent waiting for mandatory bag and iPhone searches at the end of their shifts. The American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees is suing the Trump administration. The union wants to block a regulation that allows states to use federal funds to pay private companies to administer employment services. And creditors of bankrupt Lucky's Market are opposing some bidder protections for the upcoming asset auction.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And now another legal story where, following after nearly 2 years, T-Mobile won court approval for its $26 billion takeover of Sprint. The company has defeated a state-led lawsuit seeking to block the deal. For more on the decision by a Manhattan judge, Bloomberg's Jim Grasso speaks with John Newman, professor of law at Miami University School of Law.
Explain the judge's decision here.
I think the best way to think about this is that the judge simultaneously said it's really hard to forecast the future, but at the same time, I'm pretty confident that this combined company, new T-Mobile, is going to have a faster path to 5G, and also pretty confident that Dish is going to enter the market as an effective competitor.
He said in his opinion, adjudication of antitrust disputes turns the judge into a fortune teller. So in this case, he also said that he doesn't think that it will raise prices. How would you go from 4 to 3 and not somewhere along the line seeing prices go up?
It's really hard to wrap your mind around. I mean, I think he's right in some sense that merger analysis does require you to predict the future a little bit. But you have a pretty strong history here of coordination in the market. I don't know if you remember, there was a TV commercial that T-Mobile aired a few years ago that basically showed the four companies as these four mean cowboys on horses that had all been colluding to harm the townspeople. And then T-Mobile, of course, was the breakaway maverick competitor in this commercial that it aired. So they themselves seem to be saying not that long ago that, yeah, this is an oligopolistic market, and T-Mobile is pretty important as a maverick competitor. You know, they were the ones who introduced unlimited data plans, lower prices. So to see that go away, it almost seems inevitable that there will be some price effects, as you suggested.
And Dish coming into its own as a fourth competitor, how long will that take, and how many sort of steps does it have to go through successfully?
Well, it probably depends on who you ask. I think Judge Marrero is pretty confident that it can be done quickly, and in fact, quickly enough to reverse any potential price effects. There's this kind of initial stage one, I guess you could call it, where Dish will just take over Boost as a prepaid, sort of standalone, but still somewhat reliant on the big three, I guess, we'll have going forward. So that's stage one. And then the idea is that Dish will be able to relatively quickly convert its spectrum. And it does have a lot of spectrum, to be fair. But they'll be able to convert that quickly, that they'll be able to buy up the unused retail storefronts that the new T-Mobile company won't need anymore. And I guess the idea is that they'll be able to do all this within the next few years.
And that's Miami University School of Law Professor John Newman speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Futures are higher this morning, and Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.